to the good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Several announcements. I want to remind you that tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we have our men's prayer breakfast over at Berry Fresh. Want to invite you to come and pray and eat breakfast with us. We'll have a great time together. If you'll look in your publication, in your heart publication, there's a card there. Do you know someone? It's a prospect card. It can be a family member, a friend, someone in the area that you would like for us to visit and possibly share Christ with them. And if you could fill that out and place it in the offering plate during the offering, we'd appreciate that. We're going to begin in a couple of weeks a Monday night visitation, and we're going to be going out in teams to visit folks. And if you've got someone, a neighbor, a workmate, a friend, just fill this out, put their information on here and turn it in. You could turn it in next week if you don't have their information with you. And then we've got an envelope here for one more child. This is the Children's Home, Florida Baptist Children's Home offering, and would like to invite you to pray about participating in that. Both Kim and I have had the opportunity to serve on their trustee board through the years, and praise the Lord for that tremendous ministry. They're expanding. They're adding new homes in Lakeland for the homeless families. So you'll be helping in a great ministry, reaching and ministering to families for Christ. And so also, if you're our guest today, please fill this out. Just tear it off, place it in the offering plate so we can get to know you. And then our Father's Day is coming up, and we'll be having a cookout, a barbecue, and we'll be rolling some kielbasas on the grill. And we'll also have a fishing clinic in the fellowship hall in the air conditioning. So I want to encourage you to come and take part in that with us as we have a great time together. Well, it's our joy today to recognize three graduates. Let's give them all a hand. They're here with their parents. And I'd like to begin by recognizing the parents, and we have Fleming and Annika Nielsen right here. Let's give them a hand. Stephen and Maria Patton, let's give them a hand. David and Denise Streeter, let's give them a hand. So we're going to begin. I'm going to ask you to come up and introduce you guys, to introduce yourself. And then if you would, just share with us your plans. What are you going to do next? You know, obviously, you're going to be, both of y'all have become, all three of you, millionaires. And tithe, remember to tithe. You know, when you make your fortunes, remember to tithe. So let's start with William. William also works for us here at the church when he gets off from school, or when he's been getting off from school. William, come and share with us your plans.
My plans are to go to Indian River State College to study building construction technology, and I'll get my AA degree there.
Excellent. John, what do you plan to do?
I'm headed to UF, and I'm going to get my undergraduate in mechanical engineering.
I really look up to you. David, would you like to come in? Patrick, come. Okay. Yep. Good. Patrick, what are you planning on doing?
After high school, I'll be at Project Surge.
Excellent. Excellent. Praise God. Proud of you. Also, each year I give a pastor's award to one of the graduates, and this year I'd like to give it to Patrick. Patrick was born into this ministry as a child. David, Denise, he wasn't born in the sanctuary, but he came immediately thereafter and has been here all along, and we're so proud of him. Faithful, loves God. I enjoy watching him praise the Lord, and so we'd like to give you a New American Standard Bible, and we're proud of you. Let's give him a hand, and we have a bag of goodies. Miss Kim has put together a bag for him. It's got a personalized journal in it. What else is in there, Kim? A balloon? Candy? Turtles? Turtles. I'm going to be following these boys home. You know, so we're really proud of these graduates. Let's give them a big hand. Amen. Thank y'all. Bless you. You may be seated. Now, at this time, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper and want to invite you to prepare your hearts to receive His supper. And as you know, in Scripture, He tells us we're not to take the Lord's Supper in a light way, in a disrespectful way. We're to be sober about it and serious about it, and we're to examine our hearts before God. And so if you would, let's, as the men are preparing the table, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I just want to ask you, please, to speak to our hearts today. And if there's anyone here that has anything they need to confess to you, I pray that you'll gently touch their heart with your finger and point these things out. And Lord, just allow them to have a time of confession with you before we partake of your supper. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as the men are passing the elements out, our deacons want to invite you to just ask the Lord to search your heart. And anything he lays on your heart, just in your heart, confess that to the Lord. Amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." David, would you lead us, David Goodman, for the prayer for the bread?
Lord, we thank you that we get to come and worship you, and most especially be reminded exactly what you did for us through the shed blood and the wounding of your flesh for us, Lord. We thank you for your selfless sacrifice for us. Please help us to be a reminder through the week, to share it with others, and there to be souls saved. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. In the exact same way, the Lord Jesus took the cup, and also after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." David Blackwell, would you lead us in prayer for the juice?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you do for us every moment of our lives. Father, our hope is you, and we just want to draw closer to you, Father, and be in your will and do what you would have us to do, Father. We love you and praise you and ask that you bless this time, bless the message you left on Pastor's heart and everyone in this room, Father. Please draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, deacons. Thank you, praise team. We want to release our children for Children's Church at this time. And as they're going, I've got an so I'd like to remind you that we do take up these baby bottles full of change for the Crisis Pregnancy Center. So there's some of these available. If you have some at home, bring them, and you can throw your spare change in there. It's a good way to support them in their noble work in winning young moms to Christ. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 17. We're going to be looking at today, it's kind of emanates from my devotions, this sermon and us looking into this area of Scripture. As I was reading through it, it's referred to as the Upper Room Discourse, and it begins in chapter 13 and then runs through. We've got Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It's the Last Supper, Upper Room, you know, all of this activity going on. And in it, we see in this chapter, near the end of his discourse evening, one of the longest times he spent talking to the disciples, equipping them, warning them, trying to tell them what was going to happen, and then teaching them. And then he closes with this prayer. This is the longest prayer of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. And we see a lot in it. We're going to be looking at it a couple of weeks. And Martin Luther, the great reformer, when he talked about specifically chapter 17, he said that this is the true Lord's Prayer. Now, we often say the Lord's Prayer was Jesus when the disciples asked to be taught to pray when he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven," and we've referred to that as the Lord's Prayer. In actuality, that's really the disciples' prayer. It was a prayer of a modeling prayer for the disciples. In this chapter, we see the Lord Jesus praying. Now, through the years, it's been described that in this, we see that Jesus is opening his heart to God the Father, and then he's also demonstrating and opening and showing us his open heart for us to see. And so this is what we'll be looking at with the Lord Jesus in this specific prayer and what he's done to instruct us. And this particular aspect of it, I've referred to it as this is eternal life. I don't know if it's demons attacking or what it is, but for the last year or two, I've had thoughts, you know, I'm getting older now. I'll be 70 in December, and so that's kind of a milestone for some. If suggestion for any of you here, some of you are a little bit longer in the tooth than I am, but the best way to get young again is run around with older people. So just look around and find some people in here that are older than you, and go out to eat with them and go to a movie with them when we do these Christian movies, do some activities with them, and you'll be younger because they'll say, "I remember back when I was 70, and you'll say, "Oh yeah, that's what I am right now." And so we see in this the aspect of the Lord Jesus. I've been thinking about, you know, eternity and I mean, the thoughts have come across my mind, you know, what if it's not true? And I do believe that's from the enemy. But it doesn't hurt for us to examine those things. And every time that happens, that I do two things. Number one, I rehearse all of these things I've collected in the library of my mind through my life. You know, the flood story in the ark remains, or on Ararat. The crossing the Red Sea, and they found the chariots remains and horse skeletons and bridles and all that in the Red Sea. And you go on and on and on, the Shroud of Turin. And so I'll rehearse all these things. I'll do that first, and I'll say, it's got to be true. John 2,000 years ago, basically an uneducated man, said that China was going to have 200 million soldiers now, said the Euphrates is going to dry up, and it is drying up. There's portions of the Euphrates now that are about as wide as this pulpit. And it used to be a mighty river through the Middle East, 1,700 miles long. It's drying up. And so I rehearse all these things, and then the next thing I do is I'll turn my attention and I say, I know this is a spirit, and I want to take authority over you in the name of Jesus, and I want to ask God to cast you into the pit of hell. Goodbye. Bye-bye. And I want you to do the same thing whenever the spirits are whispering to you, oh, you can't witness for Jesus. You're not good enough. You're not a great enough Christian. You can't tithe. You don't have enough money. You can't serve. You don't have enough time. And all these different things when you're attacked to turn that around. So in the midst of that, I did that. And then invariably when I pray that way, I feel my spirit lift. I feel those spirits that are whispering. Every thought in your mind is not your own. You need to recognize that and be aware of it. And so with that, and plus having daily devotions really helps. So this week in one of my daily devotions, the passage we're looking at today is how God spoke to me this week and about this prayer from the Lord Jesus. So let's look at the first five verses together in chapter 17. These things Jesus spoke and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do, and now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world was. And so as we see, and we're tipping into this prayer and looking at it, we're talking about Jesus referring to glorifying God the Father and asking God the Father in reciprocation to glorify him as he accomplishes the work for us and procures eternal life for us. So in 1 John 5, 11 and 12, and the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Yesterday, we had a one-day soul-winning workshop, and we sent teams out, seven teams to go out and to witness and share Christ. And we were going out bearing the eternal life of Christ, carrying the eternal life into our area here. And it's important for us to recognize that eternal life, it's not knowing about eternal life. It's not that you've completed a class at church, a new member class, a catechism, a Sunday school class. It's not even that you've come to services for years and made notes in your Bible. It's not just a knowledge, an intellectual knowledge about the Son of God. It's personally knowing him. It's personally knowing him. So as we get into this, let's look first of all, God the Father and Son are glorified through salvation. Jesus is in the context of this saying that the work he's about to accomplish is going to glorify God the Father, and then in turn, God the Father will return that glory to him. And that's what the scriptures say, that Jesus has been given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And Jesus repeatedly says, I'm completing this work. for your pleasure, Father, and to glorify you. The work of the cross, the shameful, vilifying, destructive, massively, venomously destruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God the Father and Son are glorified through salvation. In John chapter 7, verse 39, but this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And he wasn't yet glorified, even though he was here on earth. He was ministering, he was praying, he was healing, he was doing various forms of miracles. But he said, I'm not glorified yet. I'm not glorified yet. In fact, even after his resurrection, there's an aspect of his final glorification where he said, touch me not, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. But we see through this work and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that it brings glory. And then also, if you in John chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, when therefore he had gone out, Jesus had said, now is the Son of God, of man, glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. And again, over and over again, this reciprocal idea. I'm going to glorify you. You're going to glorify me. We will mutually be glorifying each other. And we see this happening. And this puts the wheels in motion for his glorification. Number two, eternal life must be given through the authority of Christ, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. So all over the face of the earth, over 8 billion, 8.5 billion people, all over the earth, there's a sprinkling, a spread of those that have been given to God, that have given themselves to God, that are Christ's. And they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're the body of Christ spread all over the world. And that's some of the things we rehearsed yesterday at our conference, in our training, how the Holy Spirit of God is working all over the face of the earth today. Every time I go out on a mission trip, a disaster relief trip, every time I go out on visitation from our church all these years, I recognize that the Holy Spirit is preceding me. And I recognize that he is preparing people. And I'll give you an example. I was on Friday, I was going over to the church and basically road debris cut the tire, one of the rear tires on my vehicle, and I immediately went flat. So I know I can drive it a little ways on that. So I was going to try to drive it all the way to Firestone, but I couldn't do that. It's just too far. So I wound up in the parking lot at Walmart near the pickup area. Called AAA, and AAA said, you'll be notified, and then they'll tell you when they're coming after they notify you. And I said, oh, boy. And so I said, well, I've got some time. I said to myself, I'm going to go ahead and witness to this girl on the phone. So I shared with the AAA lady, and we were able to talk for a while. I had all the time in the world. And so I shared with her, and she gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. She received eternal life. Amen? Amen. It did not expedite my help at all. In fact, I was there, I don't know, 20 minutes after talking to her, and I said, I haven't even had them call me yet to confirm. So I got out, I unpacked the back of the truck, I got the spare out, I did the whole spare thing and changed the spare out, and then I drove the thing to Firestone. I was at Firestone for a while, and I got a call, and they said, it'll only be 2 more hours. And I said, cancel it. I'm already at Firestone. And that's my counsel to you. If you have any ability at all, change the tire yourself. If you're waiting these days, we've had them cancel on us and everything else under the sun. I'm canceling AAA. Even though the lady gave her life to Christ, we've got something else with Honda, and I'm not doing AAA anymore. But God says that it's eternal life. It's inviting Jesus into your life. It's a relationship with Christ. The lady on the phone did not have a relationship with Christ before I called her. And then she invited Christ in. And then afterwards, as we were hanging up, she said, thank you so much. This means the world. God bless. Bye. And I hung up on her. You know, we were done. We were moving on. But eternal life is knowing him personally. I beg of you, if your knowledge of Christ is academic and you say, well, I've heard about Jesus my whole life. I've been in church my whole life. I've studied the Bible my whole life. But you don't have a dynamic personal relationship, you still need to examine it. You need to look at it. Eternal life must be given through the authority of Christ. He says in John 10, 27, 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. We hear the voice of God. And it says in John 1, 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. And so we must receive him by the authority of Christ himself. Number three, eternal life is defined as an intimate knowledge of God and Jesus and how that is inexplicably intertwined together, God and Jesus. Now, I was watching a YouTube, a guy preaching recently, and as I was watching it, he said, this question comes up. Why was Jesus praying to God the Father if he's God? How does that work? That question does come up. Occasionally, that's an objection from someone. And the fact is, you know, the Trinity is, to some degree, unexplainable. But we need to recognize that we still need to help people work through it. I've been able to lead Muslims to Christ because they hang up on that the most. They say, Christians, that we're polytheists, that we have multiple gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three gods. And our response is, no, we have three persons that are a tri-unity. They're one God in tri-unity, in perfect unity. And so I actually was able to give a strong witness to a surgeon, a Muslim surgeon, when we were flying to India. By sharing with him, we were talking about it, and he mentioned the Trinity. And I said, well, obviously, you're here on the plane with your kids. You're a father. He said, yes, I'm a father. And obviously, you're here on earth, so you're a son. You've got parents. He said, yes, I'm a son. Do you have any brothers and sisters? Yes, I have several. Well, you're also a brother. You're one man, but you're a father, you're a son, and you're a brother. And he did say, he said, that helps. Thank you. So we try to work through those things, but we see in Scripture that God the Father and God the Son are inexplicably intertwined. And if you go through Titus, the little epistle of Titus, we see over and over again that it says, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it asserts, and then it'll say, God the Father and God the Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we see that they are both God, one God, but they have glorified each other. Now, there's several aspects in just a second we're going to get into in this prayer that I really, really, really love. But here we see that these two are combined together. In John chapter 5, verse 49, the scriptures say this, John chapter 5, verse 44. And can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and do you not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? One and only God, glorifying himself in his personhood. One and only God. Next, we see that eternal life is accomplished through the finished work of Christ. In verse 4, I glorified thee on earth, Jesus said, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. Now, we looked at one of these verses that reinforces this last week. But in Luke chapter 22, verse 37, we see in Scripture that he says this, for I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors, for that which refers to me has its fulfillment. So him being numbered or identified with the sinners of the world, with you and I and all of our sins, the infinite death on the cross of Calvary, the infinite Son of God. He couldn't have just been a good man dying. If he was, he died only for himself. It had to be a God death. It had to be the physical aspect of God on earth. God with us had to die an infinite death so he could be numbered with the transgressors. And he accomplished it, he says, in this passage. In John chapter 4, verse 34, it says this. And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work, the finished work of Christ. I think we take that for granted through the years as we live in Christ, as we're Christians, as we are involved in church life and interacting with each other and with Christ. We take it for granted that it is accomplished, it is finished, paid in full, tetelestai, that all of our sins have been covered, that they are washed away. And this is something for us to thank God for. That doesn't mean we're not still struggling with weakness in our life, with our sinful nature. The Apostle Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, said near the end of his life, that which I would do, I don't do. That which I would not do, I do. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? I thank sin and God that the Lord Jesus Christ will. And here he said, I've written half the New Testament. I've planted the Church of Jesus Christ all over Asia, all over this part of the world. And all the things he went through, all the sufferings, all the persecutions. And yet he said, I haven't accomplished it. I'm still not sinless. I'm still not perfect. I'm still not totally sanctified. And so we see in this that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished this for us. He finished it. He finished the work, and the work counts for us. And then we see, number five, that God the Father and Son shared Shekinah glory before the creation of the world. This is a growing concept in my heart and life to try to think about. And I've talked with you about that before. We've talked about this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in eternity past. There was a time in history, ancient past history, when there was no universe, there were no stars, there were no planets, there were no comets, no asteroids, there was no ever-expanding universe, there was no earth, there was no water, And I would even contend there wasn't even a constructed heaven per se, that there wasn't even a throne. The throne is not eternal. The only thing that is eternal is God himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Everything else in the universe is the best way we can describe it. Everything else in the universe began at a point in time. And I think that's even the throne in heaven, the streets of gold. Why would it say in Scripture that Jesus goes to prepare a place for us if there is no preparation? And would that not mean that the throne is eternal? The streets of gold are eternal. They're not. So try to picture God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in perfect unity, just content within their own living, their eternal living, for eons in the past, trillions, billions of trillions of years in the past. And then not too long ago, just a few thousand years ago, God spoke it all into existence. He said, let's get this thing rolling. Let there be light. Let there be plants. Let there be planets. Let there be stars to light the day, and the sun to light the day, and the stars to light the night. And then he spoke with his own faith all these things into existence. Well, here Jesus is referring to that, and he says, the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before there was a world. In our same chapter, chapter 17, if you want to mark verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. The perfect harmony, the perfect unity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see this in Scripture. They had this Shekinah glory. I believe the Shekinah glory is what resurrected Christ from the grave. I believe that as he was laying there, his body was there, and his soul and spirit were in Abraham's bosom, and he was there during that time, taking captivity captive, freeing those dead saints who were trapped in Abraham's bosom, emptying it out, closing it, no residency. There is no purgatory, closed for business. And he emptied it out. But while his body was laying there, his soul and spirit was accomplishing that. And while his body was laying in the cold, damp tomb, the Shekinah glory of God filled it and emanated from it and radiated the cloth and regenerated his body. And he passed right through the cloth with a brand new nature to his existence, his physical existence. Came out of the tomb, passed through the door in the upper room, and then later ascended into heaven. In John 1, 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, he was with God. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Boy, that turned it up. That turned the steam up. When he said that, the Jewish leadership said, you're not even, 50 years old. How can you say that you're older than Abraham, who died centuries ago? What's wrong with you? And then it said they picked up stones, realizing that he made himself equal with God, because he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. The same way he spoke out of the burning bush to Moses. You say that I am has sent me unto you. The two-word name of God, I am. And then we see in Philippians 2, 5, and 6, have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, to be held on to be coveted. I mean, we all try to hold on to positions. Look at all our fellow citizens in Washington, D.C. They buy, lie, kill, and steal to hold those positions. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, in that perfect unity, in that tri-unity with the Holy Spirit and God the Father, he said, I'm going to lay this aside. I'm going to go down and take on a human body, a humanity, a true humanity. And I'm going to live down there with them, and I'm going to lay aside the powers of my divine attributes. And he could pick them up at any time. That was what the temptation was all about. But he did not turn that stone into bread. He could have. He could have. And I mean, he could have made the best, finest French bread you've ever had. But he didn't. He laid it aside and took on that humble bondservant. And he lived the Christian life as an example to us. And he was living it in a way where all the miracles that Jesus did, he didn't do any of them through his own Trinity attributes. He did them all through the Holy Spirit, under the will of God the Father. And he says, greater things can you do than I do when I go to the Father. We are living so beneath our abilities, the abilities God has given us. We're living so beneath that. I want to encourage you today as we think about this and Jesus glorifying us with eternal life and drafting us into his family, making us co-heirs. When you leave here, start thinking about living like that. And with the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, when you go out, exhibit that. Allow that to come out of your life. I want to beg all of you, the bare minimum, pray for everybody about everything. Whenever someone's bringing up a need, I need this, I need that, you make it a matter of prayer and say, can I pray for you about that? I mean, nothing's too foolish. I prayed for an electrician to figure out an electrical problem one time. I prayed for a carpenter to figure out a joint with the wood. And to pray for anything and everything, for the mechanic to find the problem in the car. I prayed for hunters to find the birds they've knocked down that they couldn't find in the bushes. And then they come up holding it, and they're praising God. Pray about everything. Pray for God to heal people. Pray for God to save people. Pray about everything. It is God's will for us to do that. Let's bow together for a word of prayer together. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you so much for allowing us to have within our laps, on our phones, this great prayer of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you, dear God, for coming to give us eternal life, to give us the knowledge of you. We thank you, dear God, that all of our sins are forgiven. We thank you, Lord, that you have placed your powerful, omniscient Holy Spirit within each of our lives. And I ask you, please, dear God, please bring an awakening in our fellowship. I pray that you would just unleash the power of your Holy Spirit through each of our lives to glorify you and your Son, Jesus. Please, Lord. I want to ask you right now, we've had the Lord's Supper. It's interesting that it prophesied the betrayal of Jesus as we actually are seeing in our message today. I want to ask you, do you know about Jesus or do you really know him? I'd like to invite you to make sure of that. If you would, just say, "Oh Lord, I've learned about you my whole life, but I really want to know you. Please introduce yourself to me and forgive my sins with your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. I love you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen." I'd like to invite our graduating families to come stand across here with your graduate. And I'd like to invite y'all to come by after we dismiss and pray for these graduates. Pray for God to bless them, make them successful, protect them. None of the three of them are married yet. Pray for their future, spouses. Or if you're a contender, you might want to say something to them while they're up here. But come by and pray for them. And then I want to remind you of a couple of things. As you know, each time we have the Lord's Supper, we receive an offering for benevolence in the lobby, and our ushers will be there and want to invite you to take part in that. And then we want to remind our men about the prayer breakfast tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock at Berry Fresh. There's a little conference room around their bar area right in the back. And so I want to encourage you to come take part in that with us as well. And so families, if y'all could come stand here. And as soon as they come, William, you got here first. I'm going to have you dismiss us in prayer. Or we can, yes. Come on, dear ones. Let me get you a microphone, William. Hadn't it been a blessing working here?
Yeah, I like working
here. I like working here. That's a good answer. Yeah, hold it close to your mouth.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. And I thank you for all of you, and I pray you have a good day and the rest of your week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, William. Come by and pray for them.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stuart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stuart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why Life Group Bible Studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible. And how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other. And Sunday morning Life Group Bible Study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult Life Group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this Life Group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our Life Group Bible Studies. beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts, while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station WCNO.
You cannot win the spiritual battle with partial obedience. You cannot win the spiritual fight with a temporary obedience. You can